Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're jumping right into something pretty critical happening in healthcare IT right now. You, our listener, you're probably seeing this already. Your teams, they found AI. They're using tools like ChatGPT, maybe Copilot. And look, they're getting massive productivity boosts. Summarizing notes, drafting emails, hours turning into minutes. It's happening.
It absolutely is. And that's precisely the tightrope everyone's walking because, you know, what our sources are screaming is that while that innovation is exciting, almost every single time someone uses one of those standard off-the-shelf AI tools with patient info, well, it's a ticking time bomb. It's potentially a huge IPA violation.
Huge fines, audits, reputation damage.
Exactly. So the real conversation isn't if we should use AI, it's figuring out how to get past this false choice, you know, innovation or compliance. You need both.
Right. And that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going beyond just don't use AI. That's not helpful. We need to unpack the actual architecture, the legal must-haves, the specific tech strategies, basically how you can actually use AI safely under IPA. Make that innovation genuinely bulletproof.
Okay, so let's start right there. Why is that tool, the one saving your nurse, maybe 5 hours a week, standard ChatGPT or basic Copilot, why is it such a compliance nightmare the second any kind of PHI gets near it?
Well, it really comes down to about five fundamental ways these consumer tools just clash with IPA rules. The first, and maybe the most obvious one, is data transmission to unauthorized parties. Think about it. A clinician pastes anything with clinical context into that public AI chat window, even if they think they scrub names.
Right.
That data flies straight to the AI company's servers. Now, if you don't have a signed business associate agreement, a BAA, covering that specific AI service,
then that company is instantly an unauthorized party handling PHI.
Bingo. That's the violation right there, point blank. And without that BAA, you're basically just handing over the keys. Okay, what's risk number two? This one feels sneakier.
It is. It's training data contamination. A lot of these standard tools, well, they learn from the conversations people have with them. So that data your staff enters, it often gets absorbed into the model's training set for the future.
Whoa, wait. So even if the chat history is deleted, that information could potentially resurface later.
That's the concern. It risks becoming part of the model's underlying knowledge. So theoretically, PHI, even if it was sort of de-identified, could influence or maybe even be partly reconstructed in answers given to totally different users later on.
That's a long-term risk with no clear off switch.
Exactly. And then you have the operational headaches. The third issue is a basic lack of access controls and audit trails. Consumer AI tools just aren't built for this. They don't have the detailed logging, the user authentication tie-ins, the kind of audit trails IPA demands to track who saw what PHI when and why.
Right. You can't prove anything to an auditor. And data storage. APA is all about minimum necessary.
Precisely. Which brings us to number four, data persistence and retention. These consumer tools might hang on to conversation data indefinitely. That directly contradicts IPA's rules about only keeping data as long as necessary and then securely getting rid of it.
And these models run everywhere, globally.
That's the fifth risk, cross-border data transfers. Your PHI could be processed in data centers in, you know, multiple countries. That puts sensitive patient data under foreign laws, different legal rules. It adds layers of complexity and risk most healthcare orgs aren't set up to handle.
Okay, here's where it gets tricky, because staff know not to paste John Smith, room 302. They get that training. But what the sources really highlight is that the risk goes way beyond just those obvious identifiers, right? Telling them don't paste names isn't enough.
Oh, absolutely not. IPA's definition of PHI is deliberately broad. It's about identifiability. So imagine a doctor asks the AI about, say, managing a very rare condition in a 78-year-old patient with these specific three comorbidities living in a small town or a really distinct neighborhood.
Ah, the combination is the identifier. In a small enough group, you know exactly who that is.
That's it. The clinical context itself can pinpoint the patient.
So if PHI is that broad, are we basically saying clinicians can't ask any detailed clinical question unless the tool is locked down and compliant?
Yeah.
It feels like we're hamstringing clinical inquiry.
That's a practical challenge, yes. Unless the environment is secure and governed by a BAA, asking specific questions becomes risky. And remember, this isn't just about chatbots anymore. It's creeping into everyday tools. We heard from one IT leader whose big worry wasn't ChatGPT, it was the AI summary feature in their email system. It was automatically scanning emails, flagging PHI.
Instated Microsoft 365 or Google Workspace.
Yeah, exactly. Those helpful AI features that summarize docs or suggest replies. If those emails or documents contain patient info and the AI processing isn't explicitly covered by your enterprise BAA and configured correctly, boom, potential HEPAY issue.
And voice tools, transcription, dictation. The audio itself is often PHI.
Absolutely critical point. Lots of AI-powered voice-to-text tools upload that audio, maybe dictation, maybe recordings of patient visits to the cloud. You have to know where that data is going, how it's processed, and ensure it's all under a BAA with the right security. Every step.
Okay. The scale of the problem is clear.
Yeah,
it's a potential catastrophe. So if staff can't use these easy consumer tools, we have to give them something that works and is compliant. Where do we even start building that compliant framework?
It starts with the legal foundation. The absolute non-negotiable first step is the Business Associate Agreement, the BAA. Think of the BAA as your legal shield. It's a contract that formally makes the AI provider responsible for protecting the PHI they handle, just like you are under IPAE.
So step zero, get the BAA. And it has to specifically cover the AI service you're using, not just, say, their cloud storage.
Precisely. A generic BAA isn't enough. It needs to name the AI service. If a vendor won't sign a BAA for that specific AI tool and how you'll use it, you just can't use it with PHI. Full stop. Once that legal piece is locked down, then you build out the security architecture using IPAE's three safeguard pillars.
Right, the safeguards. Can you quickly break those down?
Sure. First, technical safeguards. This is the tech stuff. Strong encryption for data, both when it's stored and when it's moving. Solid user authentication. Access controls based on roles, minimum necessary access, and really detailed audit logs. Second, administrative controls. This is about governance, having clear written policies, training your staff on how to use the approved AI tools correctly, and having plans ready for if something goes wrong, like a data breach. And third, physical safeguards. This covers things like controlling where the data actually gets processed geographically, the physical security of the data centers involved, and having documented disaster recovery plans.
Okay, that sets the framework. Now let's get into the specific tech strategies. We need a way to basically trap the PHI so it can't leak out onto the public internet, right? A containment strategy.
Exactly. And for really robust containment, virtual desktop infrastructure, or VDI, is a very powerful approach. VDI basically means your users work on virtual computers that run on your own secure servers inside your firewall. They can access this virtual desktop from anywhere, but the actual data, the PHI, and the AI interaction itself, it never leaves your secure environment.
VDI. It sounds like the ultimate secure bubble. But I know for a lot of organizations, rolling out VDI is, well, it's complex. It'd be expensive. Network bandwidth can be an issue. Is VDI really the only way to get that bulletproof compliance, or there may be simpler starting points?
It is considered the gold standard for containment, largely because it gives IT such centralized control. They dictate exactly which tools are allowed in that virtual space. And crucially, VDI enables strong data loss prevention, or DLP.
Can you unpack DLP in this context? What does that mean practically?
Sure. DLP is about setting rules to stop sensitive data, like PHI, from leaving the secure environment. So it can block copy-pasting PHI out of the virtual session, stop it from being printed on a local printer, prevent screenshots, things like that. Plus, VDI setups often allow for detailed session monitoring or even recording, which gives you that concrete proof for auditors. Now, are there other ways? Yes, things like carefully managed API integrations can work, but VDI provides the most comprehensive guarantee that PHI stays put.
Okay. Let's talk about the big names then. Microsoft Copilot and OpenAI's ChatGPT. How do you actually set these up compliantly, given the standard versions are definite no-gos?
Right. Let's be super clear. Standard M365 Copilot, the one bundled usually, not EAA eligible for PHI, no way. To make Copilot compliant, you need specific enterprise-level licensing, think E5 or Business Premium, often with extra compliance add-ons. This unlocks the features you need, like applying sensitivity labels to data, enforcing DLP rules, and getting the necessary audit logs. The key architectural thing is ensuring Copilot runs entirely within your organization's own secure BAA-covered Microsoft 365 tenant. The AI processing stays inside your controlled boundary.
Got it. So it's a specific configured enterprise version. And what about ChatGPT? If an organization wants that kind of power but needs total control?
Yeah, standard public ChatGPT is absolutely out for PHI. The commercially available compliant option is ChatGPT Enterprise. That version offers data isolation. Your data isn't used for training, and OpenAI will sign a BAA for it. But for the absolute highest level of control and security, especially in healthcare, the recommended route is usually the Azure OpenAI service.
How's that different?
With Azure OpenAI, you're essentially deploying OpenAI's models inside your own private Azure cloud environment. It all runs under your existing BAA with Microsoft. The data never leaves your Azure tenant. You control the network access, the security policies, everything. It's maximum control.
Okay, so the tech path exists, but it requires specific choices and configurations. Now, compliance isn't just set it and forget it. Once you have the right tools and architecture, what are the ongoing steps for success?
It's definitely a process. The very first strategic move, honestly, has to be an AI usage assessment. Before you even roll out the good tools, you need to find out how staff are already using the bad ones. Where's the shadow AI?
You mean actively looking for it?
Yeah.
Network logs, surveys?
Exactly. You have to assume it's happening and go find it. Analyze traffic, ask staff directly, and maybe offer amnesty. Figure out what problems they're trying to solve with those unapproved tools.
Find the leaks before you plug them. Makes sense. Okay. What's next?
Phase two is clear policies and comprehensive training. And I mean practical training. Don't just give them a policy doc saying, don't use unauthorized AI. Show them how to use the new approved compliant tools for specific tasks. Maybe create standard operating procedures. Here's how you use compliant tool X to summarize discharge notes, for example. Make it easy to do the right thing. Then third, you absolutely need continuous monitoring and auditing. Put systems in place to track who is using the approved AI, for what, how often. Regularly audit those interactions against your policies. And crucially, verify that your technical controls like DLP and VDI are actually working as expected.
This space is evolving so fast. Looking ahead, what are the next big AI waves that are going to challenge these compliance frameworks we're building now?
Oh, there are definitely things on the horizon. Three big ones come to mind. First, ambient clinical documentation. Think AI listening in during a patient visit and automatically writing the clinical note.
Wow.
Yeah, that requires whole new thinking around consent, data flow for continuous audio streams, accuracy validation, huge privacy implications. Second is diagnostic AI liability. As AI gets better at reading scans or suggesting diagnoses or treatments, it starts actively influencing clinical decisions. Those AI insights effectively become part of the medical record. So how do you handle liability? Patient consent for AI-driven care. It's a big legal and ethical area opening up.
And the third, you mentioned something about training models without moving data.
Right, that's federated learning. It's a technique where AI models can be trained on data that stays put, say, at different hospitals without ever needing to pool all that sensitive PHI in one central place. It offers the promise of learning from diverse data sets without the massive privacy risk of centralizing everything. Organizations need compliance frameworks flexible enough to handle these kinds of decentralized approaches. So, wrapping this up, the big takeaway from this deep dive seems crystal clear. This isn't really about choosing between AI innovation and being compliant. That's a false choice. You absolutely can have both. But it boils down to doing the foundational work correctly, getting the architecture right, nailing down those non-negotiable BAAs, and having rigorous, provable oversight with tech like VDI and DLP.
That's it exactly. The organizations that are going to navigate this successfully are the ones building flexible, forward-looking compliance programs now. Programs ready to adapt as the tech and the regulations evolve. So maybe the final thought for everyone listening is this. Considering the foundations we've talked about, the BAAs, the secure environments like VDI or Azure OpenAI, what's the next AI workflow that could truly transform a part of your organization? And critically, how are you building that compliance groundwork today so you're ready to launch that innovation safely tomorrow?